Don't worry about the robots coming for your job. Worry about the AI. From American Public Media, this is Marketplace Tech, Demystifying the Digital Economy. I'm Molly Wood. Automation has been reshaping the job market for hundreds of years, and most of the time, when we talk about the coming wave of automation and how it will change work, we mean robots literally taking jobs in factories, or self-driving trucks putting drivers out of business. But a new study says artificial intelligence will actually come for all kinds of high-paying, white-collar jobs. This Stanford economist came up with a way to look at the language in AI patents and compare those descriptions with current job openings, like determine risk, or analyze data, or detect cancer. Using that information, the Brookings Institution estimates that the higher you're paid, the more your job could be at risk. Mark Miro is co-author of that Brookings report.
The particular skills here dovetail with particular skills of the white-collar world. They're often about assessing a lot of information and developing takeaways, identifying patterns, interpreting things, making predictions. Those are some of the strengths of AI and machine learning, and they're also central to what's going on in offices and businesses.
And so what do you think this starts to look like? Is it, you know, person and AI job sharing, like AI does some parts of a job?
We see three possible relationships. One is a complementary relationship in which AI allows workers to offload more routine parts of the job, and therefore they are providing different aspects of work, much more judgment, maybe more interpersonal. But it could be a negative relationship in which AI takes over all or most of the tasks within a job. And then you can imagine entirely new work. Think of the ghost workers who are preparing AI training data sets. That's something entirely new work that wouldn't exist absent AI.
But it does sound like you're saying that, you know, for as much as we've predicted a wave of automation that will displace a lot of workers, say, in rural areas or manufacturing, that you're saying there will still be impacts where in places where jobs are concentrated in cities too, right?
Yeah, it's a different picture from, you know, factory automation. Clearly, robots in factories have been a huge impact on small and medium-sized companies and certainly small and medium-sized metropolitan areas and rural places. The parts of the AI economy we're talking about is a bigger city phenomena. It's going to sweep through, you know, larger firms and larger cities and really change work in our sort of downtown professional white-collar world. And that's what I find, you know, extremely interesting and really quite different from the automation and robotics story.
What do you think is the timeline for some of this technology and the impacts that you're predicting?
Some is now. And some is maybe 30 years from now. Our sort of horizon is the next 30 years, you know, which is sort of the life of implementation or of patenting, which in patenting is our basis of identifying these technologies and activities. But much of this is happening now. If you think about some of the ways the radiology is being completely rearranged with much more use of automatic scan reading, but then whole new roles for radiologists and technicians doing more of that interpretation, more consulting with other medical personnel and nurses and so on. And the same significant changes in the legal profession are already underway. So I think much is happening now, but we're talking about a 30-year horizon.
So if you were sending your kid off to college soon, knowing that they're going to kind of enter into this particular changing workforce, what would you tell them to study?
I think ultimately you would want some degree of literacy with tech and math principles. But by and large, it may be that, you know, the kind of liberal arts, human skills come back, the ability to work in groups, interpersonal exchange, the ability to make ethical judgments, all of those things come back. And it may be we need to get better at honing those skills, but there some of them are, you know, hidden in basic liberal arts degrees. So I think broad human-oriented knowledge is going to be increasingly important in the in this context.
Mark Miro is a senior fellow at the Brookings Institution. And now for some related links. You can read the Brookings report and the underlying data by economist Michael Webb at our website, marketplacetech.org. And there's a good analysis of all the research over at Vox.com. It has charts. One thing to note, Miro told me that although lots of jobs are in danger all up and down the pay scale, apparently CEOs will be just fine. I know you were worried. Other than that, I kind of found some hope in Miro saying that maybe we'll return to honing our more human skills. It's nice to think that we're still capable of a higher function than the machines. Brookings also published a piece late last week noting that automation could make some jobs even better. But that's about it for the hopeful point of view. Bank of America Merrill Lynch recently put out its own report saying almost 800 million jobs, basically half of all the jobs on Earth, could be lost to automation or AI by 2035. Better get cracking on the humanities, kids. I'm Molly Wood, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.